I knew whatever, you know, messed up thing Whitley said, it would be countered on that show by somebody else. I didn't have to worry about, oh my God, I'm not saying that. Even though it's funny. Because one of my first lines was telling Denise Huxtable I parked in the handicap because it was closer. And she said, Whitley, I said, well, why should I be punished? Because I can walk.
Yeah, exactly. Can we say that today? I don't
know. We can't say that for the stuff she said back then.
I really love me some Whitley. She may have said inappropriate things, but she makes me giggle. That was Jasmine Guy, and she is on this edition of Naked.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion they carry champions to be a champion. A champion they carry champion, that girl you did it. Got a champion they carry champion, they carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a new edition of Naked. Today, we're taking a trip down memory lane, and I'm going to get a little riled up here, but I think everybody knows A Different World. Jasmine Guy, Kadeem Hardison gave birth to Jada Pinkett, probably one of the first times we really saw Tupac act on television. Tupac Shakur, may he rest in peace. There were so many luminaries that I consider luminaries on that show. But the biggest standout for that show for me was an HBCU, a historically black college and or university. And for a young girl who grew up in California, I knew nothing. Sad to say, I knew nothing about HBCUs. My mother didn't because she didn't go to school and that really wasn't her thing. And somewhere in the South or on the East Coast seemed like another world for us, seemed like an entirely different world for people who can't travel. And HBCU was so unknown, I believe, to the world until The Cosby Show came about. Say what you want about Bill Cosby. He did introduce HBCUs to mainstream America. He did introduce an upwardly mobile family, contemporary, not just the Jeffersons, but a contemporary upwardly mobile family to America, to mainstream America. It was must-see TV. It was The Cosby Show. It was A Different World. And I'm pretty sure you guys have all heard of the show called Cheers. And people would tune in for hours and hours on end when you only had three networks to watch and NBC was winning at the time. Things have changed. But I do want to talk about what I like to call the heyday of black TV. Television that I would stop and say, I have to watch it. There was In Living Single that was on Fox. There was Martin that was on Fox. There was In Living Color on Fox. There were so many shows. You saw Queen Latifah. You saw Erica Alexander. We were introduced to so many wonderful icons in the business still to this day through these TV shows that aired on Fox. And as you know, I believe that that network, Fox, was new and fledging, and they had this other show called The Simpsons. And a lot of people, and I'm paraphrasing the history, but you can look this up for yourself. A lot of people would watch Fox for The Simpsons, for In Living Color, for Living Single is the one. Let me correct myself. Living Single, Martin. These were shows that we had to see. We must watch those shows. And now that we take a look back in history, it's disrespectful that a show like Martin never received an Emmy, which why I thought this year at the Emmys, it was beautiful for them to honor Martin, because how in the hell did Martin not get an Emmy? And it was just a smaller issue to a larger problem of our black and brown voices not being identified or valued, not seen or heard. We've heard that before. But those networks, that network in particular, Fox, was built on black shows. You're welcome, Fox. And so once these networks got their legs, they didn't necessarily need black television. At least that's what they thought. At least that's what it appears like. We had black television. We had black movies. There were so many more black films and movies. And say what you want about Tyler Perry and Men in Dresses, but he still gives us these black films that we just don't see anymore, that are just so difficult to be made. Tyler Perry was like, I'll make it. I'll be the source. I don't need to get it greenlit. So this interview today is with Jasmine Guy. She and Kadeem Hardison were the couple that we love to watch on A Different World. She was the Southern Belle that we loved to not like, but we had to like because she really was charming in spite of it all. And she was so talented, as was that entire cast. But she was so talented, an actress, a singer, a dancer, a director, a writer. She does it all. And she has her handprint, or at least her fingertips, on some of the greats that we know and love today. And on the podcast, she will talk about A Different World, of course. She will talk about her friendship with Tupac Shakur and when he turned to her the most after he got shot in New York City. He needed a place to go and no one knew where he was hiding out, he and his family. Stay with Jasmine Guy. She tells the story of how she got the role for Harlem Nights, which you have to see if you haven't seen. But what is consistent through her story is that she is an icon and a legend. And I can't help but to think that if she were a blonde or even a brunette woman who had this bevy of work, this resume of work that she has, how would she be honored and remembered in mainstream America? I'm so glad that she's so humble and willing to do so many different interviews now. I don't know if you've heard, but they're doing a tour. They're going on tour, they being her and the cast of A Different World. And they are going on an HBCU tour, like rock stars, as they should. Because I will tell you, that show inspired many of my friends to go to college. Name a show today that is encouraging you to go to college or to be educated or to be different. I can't even think of a show today that's on the air that says, oh, this makes me want to go to college. I had a friend tell me he majored in engineering because that's what Dwayne did on A Different World. I had a friend one time tell me he wanted to be an architect because that's what Eddie Murphy was in Boomerang. These are legacy shows that really defined how we moved because we hadn't seen ourselves in these ways before as a culture. And it is my honor to have Jasmine Guy on the show. But while you're listening, just think about what she and her contemporaries are able to do. It's really special. Everybody, welcome Jasmine Guy to Naked. First and foremost, congratulations. I think that for me, it has been such an honor to watch your career. And I know you hear this often, as I have done some research. You hear that you were a very, very, very significant part of our narrative in life, especially when it came to college. And I find myself constantly in awe of the talent that you have. And oftentimes, if I try to look around and say, who's had that career? Who has that talent? Literally that talent. I can act, I can sing, I can dance. Those were requirements if you wanted to make it in Hollywood. And your genesis story, from my understanding, is you start dancing when you were 5 years old. You knew that was something that was in you. And I'm really curious as to how you knew that at such a young age. Was it a part of just your spirit?
Well, I actually asked my mother why she put me into dance class, why she picked that discipline out of anything else. And she said, because you were always dancing around the house. And I said, oh, okay. So maybe I did feel that connection early. I was, in the basement with I had a record player back then in the olden days.
We still have them.
And so I think that I made a commitment to being a dancer when I was 12. I didn't realize that you could do this as a profession. And when I saw Alvin Ailey perform in Atlanta, and it was during the Peace Revelations that I felt, I started tearing a little bit and, putting myself in the pieces, in Wade in the Water, in the yellow section, in Fix Me. And I said, oh, I think this is what people feel when they get happy. Because I've witnessed it, but I never felt it until that moment. I said, I felt connected to God right now. Mm. You know that. So I told my dad that I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, and it was a dancer. I said, and I want to dance with Alvin Ailey. I think this is my calling. I think this is the way I can best communicate to other people. And I think it was the calling word that got him too, because, you don't use that kind of word lightly. And that's when I ramped up everything, my dance training, from going to Spelman Dance School in Atlanta to going to a performing arts high school and now having 2 hours of dance every day there. I also joined Atlanta Ballet and got into the court of ballet. So I was on point and I'm doing the Nutcracker. And over the summer, I went to North Carolina School of the Arts because I knew that my desire and my talent didn't match with what I could really do.
Mm.
My body needed more technique. Because those dancers in ALES technically are proficient and off the chain. And so that's when I really dove in to getting that pathway to ALES. And I was awarded a scholarship to study at ALES when I was in the 11th grade. It was during 12th grade. And I knew that I was going to take that scholarship. It was a 6-week scholarship for the summer. And I never went back home after that because they kept elevating me within the school to third company, second company. During that time, I also got the famed TV pilot and then eventually did the TV show in LA with Debbie Allen. And when I came back to New York after being in LA for that, I was doing a lot of Broadway. I did maybe 5 or 6 years of different Broadway shows, different tours. I was in the ensemble. I was understudying people. I was doing 8 shows a week for, a good 5 or 6 years.
I think that to me is when I first heard of Alvin Ailey is when I became a fan of yours and studied your career. I think I grew up on the West Coast, right? And you were in Atlanta and you went to Spelman, all the schools that I admired. And I wonder if you realize how much of the experience, the Black experience, how much of that would really influence your career and the people who followed you. Did you have any idea at that time?
Not at the time, but I did School Days before I did A Different World, even though School Days came out after, because it was a movie, it looks like a Different World started School Days, but that was my real first break was the School Days movie with Spike Lee. But everybody in that movie could sing, dance, and act. You had to. It was a musical. And we were all coming from musical theater. I had done The Wiz, I had done Leader of the Pack, Bubbling Brown Sugar, Beehive, and I knew a lot of the people in School Days already from New York. It's funny because, dancers for the audition was pretty grueling as far as you have to do monologues, you have to sing a cappella, and then you have to come back and dance. So the actors were freaking out about the dance. The dancers were freaking out about singing, but literally you had to do all three. And I was with a lot of people that did that. That, I didn't see it as something that unusual. And then I was working with Debbie Allen, who did that, and then some.
Yeah.
Direct, produce, choreograph, So I didn't realize it because I didn't realize that HBCUs were so unknown to the rest of the country because I lived in Atlanta across the street from Morehouse.
And it was just what it was. It was there.
Normal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was introduced to an HBCU proper because of The Cosby Show and then wanted to attend one because of A Different World. And but I grew up on the West Coast. I hear this story all the time. I've watched your past interviews. I know that you all get that at least, half a dozen times a week or some, even more, people saying, thank you so much for introducing me to an HBCU or you were the reason why I wanted to attend. But what you were doing was groundbreaking. And the show itself, A Different World, was so politically active. And it, to me, was our renaissance, our highlight, our glory days of Black television. And from my understanding, you had an opportunity to write. Debbie Allen encouraged you guys to write, to really be a part of the show. Can you talk to me about the special love affair that the world, the culture rather, had with a different world?
Well, I feel that the HBCU was the backdrop, but it afforded us political topics, revolutionary topics, current topics for that time. And all of those shows that were deeper, we had to pass through the network. The network didn't care about us being deep. They cared about us being funny. So the balance of being funny within a dramatic theme, like date rape, anti-apartheid movement, the election happened that year, 1 year while we were on, when Jesse was running for president, when Ross Perot was running for president. That was the mastermind of Debbie Allen. How to incorporate these themes that these young people need to be dealing with and know without losing our humor. And a lot of that is because of our relationships. The characters in the show were very different. We were all Black, but we had different backgrounds, different experiences, different attitudes. And up until then, other than, you know, Cosby and other Black sitcoms, we were working in white environments and had to be responsible and creative. And a different world allowed us to be free, because I knew whatever, you know, messed up thing Whitley said, it would be countered on that show by somebody else. You know, I didn't have to worry about, oh my God, I'm not saying that, even though it's funny. Because one of my first lines was telling Denise Huxtable that I parked in the handicap because it was closer. And she said, Whitley, I said, well, why should I be punished? Because I can walk.
Yeah, exactly. Can we say that today? I don't
know. We can't say that for the stuff she said back then.
I know.
But we should, because in real life, we're saying it.
You're right.
You know what I mean? I think people are way too sensitive about what actors and comedians say, because you're taking the irony and the humor out of what we do. We are relating to you through our characters for what people really do say.
Yeah.
You know.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
I have so many questions because I watch many shows. I'm a TV watcher. There's nothing like The Cosby Show or A Different World on the air right now. There is nothing like Living Single on the air right now. There's nothing like, In Living Color on the air right now. And I don't want to say the talent pool isn't the same, but the environment, the talent pool was, to me, superb because you all went on to have very stellar careers and became legends and still are very active and acting. And I don't know what is missing now. And I don't want to sound like somebody that's like, get off my porch, because there are some great things about new television today. But I wonder if you can tell me, was it the casting? Was it the director? Was it the writing? What's different from then versus now? Because I feel like this generation, millennials especially, they need to have A Different World, if you will. They need to have that real, honest, fun, true experience where you're activated. You guys were activated. You're talking about politics. You're talking about AIDS. You're talking about everything that is so important in today's age as opposed to social media.
It's interesting because we have, I was always pitching to three networks. Now there's a plethora of streaming. BET was only playing videos when I was on TV. It was somewhere we could go and pitch our ideas, And when Debbie did encourage me to write for the show and I wrote 3 episodes and I realized what I can write a pilot and produce it. But who am I going to pitch it to?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a home. And I watched Fox start. I watched the CW start. They all started with black shows. Fox started with Rock Dutton had a show. Sinbad had a show. This is even before Martin. And as soon as those networks got their legs, they dropped the black shows.
Yes, we built them, per usual.
It was heartbreaking because I thought we were part of a wave. I didn't know we were on the crest and coming down. I didn't foresee that. Elimination. And it's happening now and it has happened since. Like, why did they cancel the game? It was a popular show. Mm-hmm. The audience asked to bring that show back. And it did. Lena Waithe, Issa Rae, seeing them as showrunners, producers. That's what we had on A Different World. We had black female producers, exec producers, showrunner. Susan Fales Hill, Debbie Allen. And then we had leads that were black females. When Diane Carroll came on our show, playing Whitley's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And as beautiful on as she is off camera.
What a beautiful, beautiful moment. What a legend. Diane Carroll and Jasmine Guy. It was so perfect, perfect casting. I believed it. It was so wonderful. And I just get, I'm getting nostalgic talking to you about it because you really, really showed us what beauty could look like inside and out as a Black woman, as a Black young girl watching that show. And I'm like, oh, we're beautiful. We're beautiful.
Yes. And we're smart and we're creative and we have a voice.
And we have all those.
And Diane Carroll said she never thought she would see that. She was always the only Black and the only female. Mm-hmm. So that means only work with white men always. Julia, you know. And to come on our set and see not only powerful positions, but an atmosphere of openness and creativity where they wanted to hear what we thought about things, mm-hmm. about our characters, or how we could do it. And it's not always like that. A lot of times, it's like, we paid you to just do this line, do it. Don't critique it, don't twerk it, don't, you know, don't bring your extra self to it. And having had that experience, it makes me direct myself when I'm on a set and I'm not getting any notes or direction on how to make it better, when they're just satisfied with mm-hmm. my first take. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I direct myself and see how I could make it different the next time. Change it up a little in a way that might breathe new life into it, you know. But I didn't always get that kind of nurturing from other directors I've worked with.
I can see that. And I think that, God, Debbie Allen, she's given birth to so much for us yes. to remember. She's given birth to so much for us to remember. There is not one creative that I even know now that are my contemporaries that haven't had an experience or worked with her or said that she's encouraged them. I wonder, as you, congratulations on your Emmy.
Oh, thank you.
Long overdue for so many of these shows that you have been on, but it's good that you had it. And I hear you say, you didn't write anything down. I don't know if this is true, but when you won this Emmy, for the Jessica Wu show, did you feel like finally, did it matter to you at that point or did it feel rewarding?
I think I had stopped thinking about those kind of things because it hadn't happened. We were not embraced by white Hollywood. We didn't get Emmys. We didn't get awards. Everybody always said it was because we were between Cosby and Cheers. And so it would have helped our career so much if we had that kind of boost. And for Debbie and for Susan Fels not to be acknowledged for their work. So I let that go so long ago that I was surprised at how happy I was, you know. But it felt like it was for a different world and for Atlanta that raised me.
Mm-hmm.
That world. You know, I was like, is it obnoxious to bring my Emmy on the Good Day Atlanta show?
Nope.
Because I wanted to thank that city, you know, that got me to New York prepared to go.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
The joy was coming from everybody that has invested in me. So that was very moving when I thought about it. It was like, I wanted to tell my teachers, my, you know, dance teachers, and find them again and say, you know, did I ever say thank you?
You're such a talent. I think that you want to say thank you to them, but you really poured into us the same way that I talk about Debbie Allen. There, and this is no exaggeration, not a time that does not go by that we talk about Whitley. We talk about Jasmine Guy. I love that you are now embarking on an HBCU tour. And when I see you, And Kadeem is his name, but it's Dwayne forever for me, right? But when I see you and Kadeem together, and there's most recently this picture that you all recreated.
You saw those. Yeah, we just did those.
It just took us.
I was saying we can't use old pictures when we were young. And now we're in our 60s and it's not working. So I thought that was brilliant that they showed a before and later. Call it before and later.
Yeah, let's do that. Yes, before and later. And you are now, I think, I hope you are feeling how very important you are to our history, your Black history. You're so very important to us. And if you could have done anything differently, and I don't necessarily know if you would, but would there have been anything you've done differently with your career? On the
inside? I really did all I could.
Yeah.
Of course, there were a lot of roles I didn't get. But I, you know, it was hard to make some of the decisions I made. For example, when I was doing the Fame TV show, I was making $750 a week. And I left that show to go back to the Ailey company at $75 a week because I felt like I wasn't dancing enough. I wasn't in class. I wasn't. And that window of dancing with the Ailey company was small. You know, I didn't know how long my dancing life would be. What if I got injured? What if, you know, fortified me. And I would say the only thing I might change would have been when I wasn't working, I would just sink.
Yeah.
I didn't have a life outside of that. You know, I remember being at a school and a kid asking me, well, what do you do when you're not acting? Like, what are your hobbies? And I had none.
Mm.
In my mind, I'm like, good question.
I got to go get a life. I got to go get a hobby. You talk about dancing. You made $75 a week and you left Fame to go back to dancing because you feel like you needed to do more. The constant drive to want to do more, be excellent. It is something that I have, I've seen for so many women in this business, especially Black and brown women. Have you ever felt relaxed? You might have hustled, you might have worked hard, you might have been anxious, you might have felt supported, but have you ever been relaxed in your career?
In my career or in my real life?
In your career. Has it ever felt easy?
Not easy. And if it was, I would challenge myself. Like I said, sometimes people accept what I bring to the table. But what if what I bring to the table could be improved upon? That's just what I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
In the shower in my bathroom before I got here. You know, give me something else to try or play with. And the exciting thing about doing Harlem, the TV, the Amazon show, is that everybody wants to just be great. You know, and Whoopi was on the set yesterday and she reminded us, she's a very giving person. If you need her in your project to get your project done, she'll be that work.
Mm-hmm.
If you're starting or embarking on another journey, she'll be the one to call that will support you in that with not only good advice, but will put herself there for you. And that's also very important, especially for independent Black projects, because they're going to need distribution. After this is done, they may have raised the money to film it, but getting it out there is a whole nother thing. And they always want names.
Always.
And so, and they say that Black names, at least in the olden days, didn't have international value. Therefore, they wouldn't get their return back, which also isn't true. It's just another way of not like getting our projects out that we create.
Yeah.
It's like we're good for hire, but we have other stories we want to tell.
Yeah.
And you don't know them.
Yes. Yes.
I had a bid wish show and I knew already going in there, I was going to have to explain what bid wish was, right? Yeah. So I started it with, you know, this is a very popular game in the Black community. So if you've never heard of it, I'm going to tell you about it, how it traveled across the country through the Pullman porters and why it remained a Black thing. Because the show I was pitching had Black celebrities, athletes, in a bid-wish kind of tournament. Because I know a bunch of celebrities in different realms. And one of them said, well, you know, I hang out with Black people and I never heard of it. I said, I just told you. It's stuff we do without y'all around.
Yeah, it's for us.
I don't know how else to say it.
It's for us. You don't
the
know it.
The arrogance.
Of it all, yeah.
The arrogance, I would never think that I know everything about white people, Italian people, Jewish people.
No,
so I listen to what you tell me about how you do family dinner, how your reunions go, how you vacation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go, well, I know white people and I never heard of that.
Correct.
How do you think you're going to know everything? I started by saying, I'm going to tell you something you never heard of. But trust and believe, I know the popularity of this game. And this, you know.
That's always so
that was frustrating, not having someone to pitch to. Now I have people to pitch to.
Now we have people to pitch to. You mentioned there is a new, and I don't want to feel like I'm saying that the talent pool isn't as vast as it was. We just don't have the shows that represent us on television anymore. And to your point, Our Black shows built these networks, and when they didn't need us anymore, we found ourselves on the outside looking in. But now the new creative is like, no, I'm the EP of the show. I'm the creator of the show. I have full licensing of the show. They're more business savvy because we felt like those options were not available. I assume we felt like those options were not available. But what's missing still is the cosign, because if we have to explain it to you, you won't get it. It won't make sense. And I find that a lot of Hollywood creatives are arguing about that. So when I think of someone and I think of a movie that you were in that I, you know, I have these movies I like to go to bed to. And the movie that I like to go to, one of them is Harlem Nights. And what Eddie Murphy was able to do with his career was that's why he's a true talent, right? He was able to live in both worlds and he did both things. He gave us our Black films. He gave us our blockbusters. He gave us our films that we could watch. And you, I heard say in an interview that you pitched yourself, if you will, to Eddie to be in Harlem Nights. And what a great decision that was.
I didn't think I was pitching him. I met him at a party.
Okay, tell me.
I mean, I knew him from before.
Yeah.
And I was a little miffed that they didn't allow me to audition.
Mm.
And that role was given to Michael Michelle by the time I saw Eddie. And he said, well, congratulations. How does it feel? You know, I don't know. It was like People magazine cover or something. And I said, I would feel better if I could audition for you. That was very insulting to me that you wouldn't see me. And it gave the wrong message to my agents and, you know, is there a problem kind of thing? Because out of respect, I'm asking to audition.
Mm-hmm.
At least see me. So at the time I said that to him, it was already done. And I was just voicing how I felt about it. And it was happening more and more with Black men in Hollywood that I was seeing on a social level. So they were, I said, yeah, but you seeing me as me. You got to bring me in and see if I can play the character. And the white directors brought me in because they didn't know me personally. Well, let's see if she can do it. And I just wanted that same opportunity. And then Eddie called me and gave me the role.
Wow.
So there was, yeah, it was a little messy. And and I was thrilled that I was in it, but I was like, well, I don't know. That's another true Hollywood story.
Another true Hollywood story. Well, that's fine. Well, they gave it, it went the way it's supposed to go, and I'm sure that happens often. That's not
I'm sure it happens.
But I love that because once again, there we are telling some really great stories that we probably knew nothing about. And we're talking about Harlem, the Mecca for the culture. For us who aren't able to travel or live in different areas, to me, I grew up in California. New York was it was a lifetime away because, you know, my family didn't travel. It felt like a lifetime away to feel and hear about this place called Harlem where we can do all these fun things and dance and sing and cut up. Well, where is this Mecca? Where can I go to be a part of that? Again, important and so needed now.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
I would like to know one other story. When you were on Different World, and I know that you don't have much time, but you were on Different World, you met this guy by the name of Tupac Shakur. And I had the opportunity of meeting him twice. Both times I was a teenager. I was like 16 and 18. And And he always had something special about him. And he was always very polite. Like, and I was just a kid who was a fan, and he was very polite. I remember very approachable. And you tell the story of how he and you became friends because he was always hanging out with Jada on set, Jada Pinkett. And he used your home, the families, the Shakurs used your home as a place of refuge after he was shot. And you talked about the book you wrote. Can you tell me a little bit about that relationship with Afina and Tupac and why he knew that he could find solace with you?
Well, when I met him, he did an episode of A Different World. And then I saw him outside in the real world. And I was hearing murmurings about he's just playing himself. He ain't all that. He's just playing himself. And I said, well, do you know how hard it is to make you think that that character really is a person? I thought he was a great actor, and I just wanted him to know that. I said, you have to focus on that talent too, because the rappers were getting movies back then. And not everybody could act. Mm-hmm. They were using the popularity of their name, you know? But those that could did. And you could see it. You know, the transition that Will Smith made, the transition that Ice Cube made, the transition that Ice-T made. But not everybody could sustain it. And I always thought Tupac was going to be a film star, producer, you know, go in the path of his contemporaries that are now on that level, creating their own material, learning the business, learning from the music business and applying it to movies and film, you know, like 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had that kind of mind to do. And he was still very young.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he was like 22 or something, you know. So a lot of what we talked about was that, and he would tell me things too that I should be doing that I didn't see for myself. You know, he was like, stop talking about all these other girls. We think that way about you. Cause I had a category for that leading lady, you know, Vanessa Williams, Robin Givens, you know, and I was like, I've got to learn what that is, that, you know, what is, how you say, je ne sais quoi.
That je ne sais quoi, yeah, that you have, know? Yeah.
But and
you,
I, yeah. So I was studying them because I always saw myself as a character actor. And the broader the character, the better. You know, after Whitley, I wanted to play a crackhead. After the crackhead, I wanted to play a teacher. I didn't want to always be the girlfriend of. I kind of didn't know what to do with that, actually. So we had that discussion a lot about not seeing myself as that and almost preferring a supportive role that I understood and knew I could add to, as opposed to a look that fit with something, but nothing really to play.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. So we had interesting conversations, and I really saw that for him. And
he was a star. He was a star. And he made such
a huge star.
And he made such a huge impact in a short period of time. And sometimes you think maybe those legends don't deserve to have a long life, and just what they do is what is meant for us to interpret. You said that you liked the FX special. To me, Dear Mama, superb. Superb.
I agree.
Herb. I didn't realize how smart Afina was. And I just thank you for all that you've been able to do. I know you have to go, but thank you so much for just what you've contributed to us and the inspiration you've given to us.
And that Alan Hughes directed that docuseries was brilliant.
It was
and their history was a trip.
I was. It was. It was.
Well, I'm glad you decided to do this because he did his early videos. Brenda had a baby and all that. And for them to fall out the way they did, oof. You know,
literally beat him up on set. Only Alan could tell that story. I'm all like, wait, you mean to tell me he beat you? I've heard the rumors. And it was just beautiful. It was beautiful. And I know it had to be embarrassing or painful, but only he could have given us that insight that we needed. And so with that being said, I just thank you. You've touched everyone that we've known and loved in the culture and still do. And we support you. Congratulations on the Emmy that you received in January. Congratulations on the HBCU tour. From my understanding, that's in April. The second tour, you'll be at Howard University in April. Is there anything else that we should be looking out for? I know you're on Harlem. You talked about that. That's on Amazon.
Well, I'm doing a series of Christmas movies, and I'm filming the third one. In Africa, we're going on a destination Christmas. And it's about the Wesley family, starring me and Dorian Wilson as the mother and father of three kids, and T.C. Carson. And I love doing it. I mean, I really feel like they're my family. We have a great time, and I'm glad I get to do that soon, like next week. I'm going to
Africa? Where in Africa are you going?
South Africa.
Oh, good for you. Enjoy.
And I enjoyed doing this interview. You're wonderful.
You're gracious.
Beautiful, smart, talented.
I mean,
things nobody's asked me, so I appreciate that.
So again, go out and support Jasmine Guy. If you guys are going to be in the D.C. area, you can look it up online, HBCU Tour. I saw her put it on her Instagram, The Jasmine Guy, that they were going to Howard. I think it's sometime in April, April 9th, maybe. I think that would be great. I think that's always wonderful to see someone who inspired so many people to head to an HBCU, to head to college, period, but to an HBCU, go and talk to those at an HBCU. She gave life, I believe, Bill Cosby, Different World, Cosby Show, gave life to HBCUs. And I know that history will not remember Cosby in that way, but I will tell you, two things can be true. He could be what people do not like and despise, but he can also be someone who really encouraged our culture to be better and do more. Two things can be true. I often say that on the podcast. It's disappointing that Hollywood, much like much of society and many institutions, can't appreciate the culture and what it brings to the world. Meaning, when Fox needed all that black talent in shows and programming, they had no problem greenlighting those shows because they were in need. And all of that black talent and all those black shows helped build that network. Much like my good girl Angela Rye will say, we built this joint for free. Talking about the city in which, the America in which we live in. We built this joint for free. Show some respect. And so with that being said, I show nothing but respect to Jasmine Guy. I am so grateful for her that she came on the podcast and shared some stories. For me personally, it's like, give me the inside, break down that fourth wall. Let me see what's happening. Because these were the shows that I grew up on that meant so much to me. And quite frankly, everyone is living off the fruit of what Jasmine Guy and all of the characters in A Different World in The Cosby Show were able to do. We're getting smarter and better, though. Work is just getting more scarce. Perhaps we'll have another renaissance, if you will. Thank you for listening to Naked. We'll be back next Monday.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.